Cancel.
This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and this is the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for February 10th, 2017, and we're going to get right into the news stories and jump right into what we've got for you today, because I've got one of my favorite people around town. I got Coach Ron Haynes from the high school here with me, and I want to get right to that interview as quickly as I can. So we're going to quickly go through these other items we have, and I'll save some of my promotional stuff for the end of the show when Ron will be heading over for the last practice of the year for the boys. So in Rogue River news, and I apologize, I don't have a ton of detail on this story, but because I had talked about it previously, I wanted to give you the update. In the Sandra Blanco story of embezzling money or stealing money, however you want to characterize it, from the Rogue River Pharmacy over the course of a few years, actually, she was finally sentenced. I believe she had pleaded guilty. Again, I talked about it on the show, and I don't have those notes in front of me. But she was sentenced to 15 months. And as I said before, this is not... It's good news for the pharmacy that they get some closure on this and get to move on and not have to deal with this anymore. But it's kind of a sad time for everybody, because this is a woman that lived in the community and is a mother, and it's not a good situation. Nobody's happy about the outcome, but I'm sure that the pharmacy is definitely happy to have this behind them and be able to move on from here. So that was really the only other news story I wanted to talk about. I'm not going to get into it today. We may talk about this next week when I can dig into it a little deeper, but they did arrest a suspect in the story of the grow site out in Weimar that had been burglarized, and there was, I believe, the owner had been assaulted. And again, we talked about it, and I'm not going to get into it today. They do have a suspect in that case, and so I will dig into that story some more and talk about that next week, and maybe there'll be some more news coming out of that between now and next week. So those are the two big news stories that I had for you, and I don't have much for you, but I wanted to give you what update I could. And also, we had Autumn Cogdill on here a few weeks back, and she is a student at Rogue River High School who is putting together a homeless outreach program, and that's coming up on the 25th of February. And right now, the needs, I'm sure there's still needs for donations, but her biggest need right now would be some clean bins, some clean storage bins that she can put donated items into so that she can be organized and ready to go for that outreach coming up on the 25th. That will be taking place in the parking lot of Umpqua Bank, and there will be... At least at last check, there's going to be a meal provided. There's going to be some clothing donated so that, that they may have some more suitable clothing for a job interview or something along those lines. And I believe we're also going to have someone there that can give haircuts and help them get groomed up and ready to try and, you know, make a run at reentering society. It can't be an easy thing if you've spent any time on the street to try and inject yourself back into society. I don't know how to characterize it without sounding insulting, so I won't. But, it's got to be a tough thing for those folks. And I applaud Autumn for taking on this project. And so she is in need of clean storage bins, and there may be other items she needs. If you have more questions about that, You can either contact me through the Rogue Talk Facebook page, or you can go directly to her Facebook page, which is Homeless Outreach Project. And probably if you put Rogue River in that search, that might help you find that. But you can reach me by email also at feedback@943thebridge.com. Once again, that's feedback@943thebridge.com. And anytime I mention any kind of community project or something going on in the community, if you want to reach out to me, I can get you in touch with the right people. If I talk about it here on the air, I usually have enough information that I know who to get you in touch with. So you can do that there. And also, if you ever want to call in, we're welcome to take phone calls. I can put you live on the air. And in fact, if you call in today and you're in the local area, I can offer you 2 free tickets to the, there's a Martin, I don't have, again, I should have these other notes in front of me. I don't, but there's a Martin Luther film that's going to be in March, and I can get you 2 free tickets to that if you call in and talk to us on the show today. And that number is 541-299-0498. Once again, that's 541-299-0498. And one last thing, let's get to the results for our sports teams for the last week. Of course, last Friday, the basketball teams took on Cascade Christian High School, and as we might have expected, the outcome wasn't quite as good as we had hoped. But both the teams really played hard, and there was a lot of good things come out of almost every game, with a few exceptions. And I'm sure we can get Ron to talk about that when we get him on here pretty quick. And then on the boys lost 36-67, and then we headed to Lakeview on Tuesday, and that was a good game, close game. Unfortunately, the boys came up a little bit short again. Final score was 54-43. And moving over to the girls' results, the girls in a pretty competitive game. Now, again, they probably played a lot of that game against the second team coming out, you know, playing a lot more minutes than they might usually play for Cascade, but still a pretty respectable 43-29 score for the girls in that one. But unfortunately, then they headed to Lakeview and were soundly trounced 56-15. So that was a tough one for the ladies on Tuesday night at Lakeview. And so one game left for both the teams. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And I think I've got everything covered I wanted to catch in this first segment. I do want to talk about the Miss Rogue River Crab Dinner coming up tomorrow night. I will save that for the final segment. And we're going to take a break here so that we can get Ron and his granddaughters on the microphone with us. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
With Esrid Sports, I'm Patrick Faust. Houston Rockets are back within 3 games of first-place San Antonio in the NBA Southwest Division after a 128-104 rout of Orlando. Rockets guard James Harden with 25 points says having 3 days off really helped his team in its win over the Magic.
We've been on the road and hadn't had a chance to practice. I've just been playing games, so you kind of lose your principles or whatnot. So it was good for us to kind of, you know, rest our bodies for a few days, did a good work here practicing yesterday, and today we were confident.
C.J. McCollum capped his 32-point night by nailing a runner in the lane with 0.9 seconds left defeat Portland, a 114-113 win at Dallas. Charlotte beat Brooklyn 111-107, snapping their seven-game losing streak. In the NHL, the New York Rangers iced Anaheim 4-1. Ducks center Ryan Getzlaff says Rangers goalie Henrik Lundqvist was great in the nets.
Yeah, we hit a lot of legs. Goaltender played great. Obviously, Lundqvist is one of the best in the world for a reason. And I didn't think we challenged him enough in his crease tonight. But overall, I mean, he played great, and we didn't get the job done.
This is Esser in Sports. NHL points leader Washington blanked Carolina 5-0, their second straight 5-0 shutout. Capitals defenseman Matt Niskanen's team has 10 straight home wins.
We got a lot of confidence right now. Obviously, it's things are going well, and I like our team. I think we got some good depth, and up and down the lineup, guys can hurt you, and we're playing well, having fun.
Minnesota doubled up Winnipeg 4-2 as the Wild move 5 points out of San Jose for the Western Conference lead. The Sharks were losing in overtime to Buffalo 5-4. Columbus overtime, Detroit 3-2. Calgary won a shootout over Pittsburgh 3-2. Rookie Austin Matthews notched his 25th goal of the season as Toronto beat Dallas 3-1. Jake Allen made 30 saves in his second shutout of the season and 13th of his career as St. Louis clobbered Ottawa 6-0. Tampa Bay was a 5-0 shutout winner over the L.A. Kings. Nashville beat Vancouver 4-2, and it was Colorado blanking Montreal 4-0. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Road Talk. And joining me in the studio, before we get to Coach Ron Haynes, he's here with me, and we're going to talk to Ron, but I've got his two granddaughters with me, Serena and Alyssa. Serena and Alyssa, welcome to Rogue Talk.
Say hi.
Hi.
Now, the reason I wanted to get Serena and Alyssa on here was, well, one, because they're with Grandpa today. But last season, we had several interviews with Coach Haynes after the games, and it was because these two granddaughters kept telling, hey, Grandpa, you got to get on the radio. They want to interview you on the radio. So I wanted to get them in here and say thank you for doing that. So where do you guys go to school?
Grace Christian.
Oh, you go to Grace Christian, so you're over at that other school over there. So when the Chieftains are playing Cascade Christian, who do you girls root for?
I root for Cascade.
And that was Alyssa.
I root for the Chieftains.
Okay, well, see, now Serena's automatically my new favorite now because she roots for the Chieftains. So do you think your grandpa's a pretty good coach?
Yeah,
I do too, which is why we've got him here today, so we can talk to him about basketball. So you guys hang there in that seat, and I'm going to move over and talk to your grandpa. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ron, welcome back to Rogue Talk.
Thank you.
So one game left in the season, and you've got your last practice of the season tonight and a little pizza party tonight,
right?
And the boys are pretty excited about that. But not only that, this is your last practice for the Chieftains. So tell us what you told the boys last night.
Well, I told them, first of all, they're great kids. And I said, you can blame your parents for that.
I'll take all the credit for mine.
Okay. Well, you should. He's a good kid, too. But I just told him, I said, you know, it was it was time for a new coach. And I just told him, I said, you know, I felt like a year ago, yeah, I could bail after we'd have a pretty good run, but I didn't feel that way because there's one game in particular I looked out there and I saw five young men and I thought, why can't I coach those guys? You know, they get good grades, they're great kids, and all the kids we have are very, very good kids anyway.
Yeah, now, a couple of, well, let's talk about the whole team for a second. Mm-hmm. first of all, are the results of the season, and we got one more game to go tomorrow night, and unfortunately I won't be able to be there tomorrow night when they moved it from Friday to Saturday. I have another engagement, which I'll be talking about in the last segment, the crab dinner. But without worrying about this last game of the season, what are your takeaways from the season? Did they overachieve, underachieve? Where do you think this team landed, and what are maybe the pluses and minuses you've seen all season from this team?
Well, we're a very young team. Essentially, we've only got two seniors plus Chago, our exchange student, and I think we've got two juniors. So we knew we were very, very young, and looking at us last summer during summer ball, we struggled, and you could kind of see it. I thought maybe coming into this season when we were all together that we might achieve more in terms of wins. Had a couple of real disappointing games in which Glendale was one that just was, I don't want to take away from Glendale, but we didn't play very well.
That's
an understatement, quite frankly.
Yeah, that was the kind of one of the ones I was thinking of where I felt like that was a winnable game that we didn't win. And so that's one of the reasons I was curious at what your assessment was.
Yeah, we did get to a point in that one week right after Christmas. We beat Gold Beach and we beat New Hope in a very close game. And you really thought at that point in time that we'd really turned the corner, because we really had problems when teams would pressure us full court, which surprised me about Gold Beach, because they never pressed us full court, and we were pretty comfortable playing basketball that night. Then the bad weather hit, and it's like we had to all start all over again. And I remember there was one time we hadn't touched the ball in a week. And so we had the varsity come in, and we scrimmaged. All I did was just roll the ball out, and we scrimmaged for 2 hours just to get back into game shape. Because, again, we hadn't done anything for a week.
Yeah, that snowstorm really did kind of just put everything to a grinding halt for us around here.
It wasn't just us. There's lots of other teams, too. But it's how do we deal with it? And then finally we got in there one night, and we stretched, and we did a little jogging. Did a real quick shooting warm-up drill, and the lights went out.
And yes, I remember.
There was a transformer outside the high school that got hit, or it blew up, and that was the end of practice for that night.
And I remember that night because it was the first time in I can't tell how long. I was actually home by myself enjoying the quiet, and here comes Cameron through the front door, and I'm like, where did you come from? And yeah, that was the night the transformer exploded.
Yeah, it was, you know, I guess I've been around long enough. It was like, don't get frustrated. It's just, you know, it's one of those things, it's out of my control, so why should I worry about it? But, you know, we just seemed to struggle from that point on even more. And we did struggle with pressure. You notice the game with Lakeview. You know, they put a little pressure on us, but we were able to deal with it.
Yeah.
But teams who came at us really hard, full court, it was tough.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Lakeview, and this is just a quick side note, did you know anything about that young man, Lampman, before we played them this year?
I'd heard something about it. That and I, you know, try to snoop around, get some information on teams. So I knew that he was a shooter, and I knew his brother was, you know, because I'd seen him for 4 years.
Right, I remember his brother from last year. Sure.
Yeah, and you just can't turn your back on him.
Yeah,
he shoots better from further out than his brother did.
Yeah, I couldn't believe watching this kid. He's a freshman, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like watching a little tiny Steph Curry. Can't play defense very well, but he can shoot the lights out. I mean, he'll pull up from anywhere in the gym, and if he can get his feet under him, you can count on it. It's gonna have a chance. It's not now if you can keep him off balance. He was pretty mediocre, but if he could get his feet under him, he could hit from anywhere on the floor. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you notice no defense. Derek Nelson had him with four fouls in the fourth quarter. And we talked a lot about that. Do not let, if he's got to go to the bathroom, you go to the bathroom door and stay with him there. And but, you know, a lot of times they'd swing the ball into the key and then pop it right back out. And we were chasing the ball into the key. And it was, oh, shoot, there he is, and there's 3 points. We were quite aware of him.
Yeah, they were doing a good job with that little bit of a triangle type of, you know, in, out, until they could get that open look, mm-hmm. and it was working pretty well, especially in the second half. But I didn't want to spend too much time on Lakeview, but I was impressed with that young man. He's gonna have a bright future in basketball for sure. Does need to learn to play defense, though. But so now you mentioned Derek Nelson. He's been a real bright spot. This year, his second year playing basketball, really, and he became a starter not too far into the season. But let's talk a little bit about those two seniors you mentioned. Of course, Derek Pratt and Aaron Hansen. And we talked about this before the other day, but, you know, Aaron Hansen's offensive game really came to the forefront this season. Mm-hmm. What's been your assessment of his improvement and becoming more of a leader on the team too?
I think he footwork was great for him. And as far as leadership, you know, last year we went to Camp Colton, and it was him and the 8 dwarfs. Basically, I mean, they're very, very young kids. We had a couple of 8th graders, and he was pretty much the guiding force of that, because summer ball you're more relaxed, but once we get on and off the bus, it was always, okay, guys, where's the med kit? Where's the water bottles? Where's the basketballs? Everybody got it taken care of. And he was always in charge of that kind of stuff and always made sure as the senior that, hey, that stuff's taken care of. So it was great having him there as a leader.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned summer ball, because I remember when Cameron was coming up, seeing him in summer ball, and thinking, wow, he's really improved, especially on the offensive end. And then throughout last season, I didn't see it come to fruition with him the way I thought I might. And like you said, a lot of that may be the relaxed atmosphere of summer ball. And he was under a lot of pressure with all those seniors from last year that were, they were a pretty tough group to meld with at times.
That's right.
And so I didn't quite see the potential that I thought I was going to see from him, but come this season as a senior, it all showed up, and then some. It was even better than I was expecting. And like you mentioned, the footwork is huge. And of course, playing the post position, footwork is a whole different ball game than it is, you know, like as a point guard.
And you notice also in the open court, oftentimes he would be the one bringing the ball down the floor.
Yeah.
Nice having a 6'5" point guard doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, when you can put him in the middle of the floor on the press break, and he's just as comfortable bringing it up as he is making the next pass. Yeah, that was a huge advantage and a definite improvement in his game to be able to ask a guy that big to do that.
Yeah,
you know, it's, I mean, I wouldn't compare him to Kevin Durant, but it's one of those things that it's rare in a guy that big to have that good of ball handling mm-hmm. skills. So the other senior, of course, Derek Pratt. And Derek, I think we were asking Derek to do an awful lot, and at times he was able to step up to it, and at times he wasn't, and not because he didn't want to, but I think we asked for him to do an awful lot this season. But we also kind of had some fun with him, you know, because of his desire to get a dunk. So tell us about your experiences with Derek this season.
Well, speaking of the dunks, in the past I always said, well, you can dunk, but you better make sure it's going down.
Especially when it's a 2-point game or something.
Yeah. And this year, knowing that we were young, we were going to struggle, I said, you know, I want you to have fun. If you got a chance to dunk, do it. If you don't, then I'm really going to be mad at you. And against Prospect, I think he got one. And it was against Triad, he got another one. And those weren't cheap dunks.
No. They were fun calls on the radio, I can assure you. In fact, the first one, he got the steal. I looked down at my paper, and I missed the first part of it, but I got the end of it, and you heard how loud it was. And it was like, you know, it was really easy to describe because you could probably hear the noise in the microphone mm-hmm. that he made. Yeah, he's a strong kid.
Yeah.
But again, a little different style of leadership. But did you see kind of him taking on that leadership role too?
You know, he did too. But you're right, it's a different style of leadership in which, you know, it's more quiet. I mean, Aaron's not exactly outgoing either, but they're both quiet individuals.
I see Aaron, and I noticed it the other night, the younger guys respond to him, and he's kind of like that father figure that won't say much, but when he looks at you, you better jump to it. And I saw that with Aaron, and even with my own son, with Cameron. You know, Aaron wanted them to do something after the game, and all he had to do was look toward them, and they knew what he wanted and took mm-hmm. care of it. So again, even with Aaron, it's kind of a quiet leadership, but definitely leadership.
After last year, I was really happy with the way those two took over things. Very supportive of me. You could expect some seniors to just kind of slack off. Not these two.
No. No, definitely not. In fact, we had been talking previously in the case of Derek. I mean, he even went as far as to quit playing football because he wanted to mm-hmm. give his attention to basketball. And frankly, it was probably best for not only for him but for his opponents, because there were games where I really thought he was going to hurt somebody because he just plays with this reckless abandon, which is why his dunks are so fun to watch. He's not a huge guy, and so a dunk for him is an athletic ability more than a size thing. And so they were pretty thunderous because he gives it all when he's playing. He puts it all on the floor.
Derek's first 2 years in high school, we had him playing some JV ball. And Dave Earhart and I would always sit together. And invariably, if we played a team the first time, you'd see some innocent JV guard go driving to the basket. We would always elbow each other and go, watch this. And that ball would come off. I mean, it would be going someplace fast, but away from the basket.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be the last time that guard would be going in there with a nice, easy lay.
Yeah, once you went head-to-head with Derek, you took nothing for granted around the basket. The first couple of years when he was younger playing, I was coaching AAU one time, and I had a girl that had never played any basketball, but she was a good athlete, Michaela Miguel. And she never played again after that. She just played that one AAU season with us. But Derek reminded me when in his younger days, very similar to Michaela, where great athleticism, but sometimes the timing was a little off. Mm-hmm. And so there was a couple of times where she'd go after, you know, like a steal, but her timing was so bad because she just hadn't played before that she'd just cream a girl. Well, I've seen Derek do that a few times. The difference was not that Derek wouldn't, he'll give a guy a hand up, especially if he creams a guy. He's yeah. always the first one there to help him up.
Yeah.
But with Michaela, she would run over, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I kept taking her aside saying, you don't have to be sorry. It's okay. But yeah, that was always something I noticed with Derek. And the last 2 years, the timing and the athleticism kind of lined up. But as I kind of mentioned, he is a guy that will help a guy up. I mean, mm-hmm. not that he hasn't gotten into it with a few guys, and usually they're pushing on him as hard as he's pushing on them,
yeah.
and that's when it gets a little testy. But he's generally a pretty good sport.
He is. He yeah. is. I remember last summer in summer ball, we went down to Ashland, and we were playing a combination, the Ashland JVs and varsity. And I think their opinion of us was, we're just going to run these guys right out of here. Excuse me. And after a few blocks, they decided that we weren't going to go inside in these guys anymore. We're just going to shoot from the outside. Thanks to Aaron and Derek.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and get a little bit more with Coach Ron. We're going to take a break, get him a drink of water, and so hang with us. We're going to be back with more with Coach Ron Haynes. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A White House official says President Trump has full confidence in National Security Advisor Michael Flynn following reports that he discussed sanctions with Russia's ambassador to the U.S. after the election. Trump advisors, including Vice President Mike Pence, previously said Flynn did not talk about the sanctions in his conversations with the Russian envoy. But the official said Flynn now says that while he does not recall talking about sanctions, he can't guarantee the matter did not come up. President Trump says he's considering signing a new executive order on immigration as the one he signed suspending the nation's refugee program and barring citizens from seven countries infused with terrorism is held up in court. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 97 points to 20,269, the NASDAQ rose 19, the S&P advanced 8. More details at SRNNews.com.
Your station for Rogue River News, weather, and talk radio that matters. 94.3, The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3, The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And continuing with me in the studio, Coach Ron Haynes from the Rogue River Chieftains basketball program. And as we talked about in the beginning of the interview, of course, Coach Haynes, this is he's retiring as coach of the Chieftains. And today after he leaves here, it'll be the last practice of the year and of his Chieftain stint. But you've been with the high school for 9 years now, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you started out as an assistant with who did you?
Scott Anderson.
You were with Scott Anderson. Okay. Yeah. I was trying to remember if that was the situation. I thought it was. I remember. You know, it's funny because when I was working the scoreboard, I try and learn from the coaches that are around there, you know, and at the time I was coaching, now I'm not, but, and I remember with Scott Anderson, the one thing I learned from him was clock management. I don't know if you experienced that with him, but when he needed a timeout, you know, near the end of a game, he had it. He always was good at conserving those timeouts, and that was something I learned from him. So yeah, you did. That's right. You did go back to our Scott Anderson days, mm-hmm. and then you moved up to his head coach, and you had.
Actually, I went to the girls for 1 year with Dave Earhart.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You did help with the girls.
Yeah, Coach Grover was the head coach of the boys for a year.
That's
after Scott.
That's right. So you 1 year with the girls, then over to the boys, and of course Dave was your kind of your right hand man there too. And mm-hmm. you know, some people from a distance thought maybe he was coaching the team, but we all knew what the we knew who was running the show over there. But for a couple of those years, you served as the athletic director. Mm-hmm. And no disrespect to any of the other athletic directors we've had, current or past. The one thing I can say, and part of this is because you and I have become friends, and we at least friends enough that we have each other's phone number, was that I always felt well informed with any changes that were made. And, you know, and I know there's way more to the job there, but that's the one thing that I remember from your 2 years as athletic director is you always kept me abreast of what changes were going, so that whether it was like last year being carrying the games on the radio, mm-hmm. or just for me showing up to run the scoreboard. So I give you a ton of credit for that. But I wanted to ask you about that job. Of course, the coaching stuff is probably more fun to talk about. But I kind of was wondering, is there anything that stands out as one of the toughest things you had to do during your 2 years as the athletic director? I know we had some controversy with a softball team at one point, and I don't remember the details of that.
Yeah, we had an ineligible player. My first year, I hadn't been there very long, and we had a situation with the football team where we had to suspend the football coach for the last game of the year.
Okay, yeah. And yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
I became the offensive coordinator. And that was, I still think of that game at Riddle on Halloween night and me being up in the crow's nest with several pages of plays and not sure that our radio communication was working very well. And it was a cold night, but there was an empty sewer someplace and it kind of stunk. So it was kind of, you know, but amazingly we scored 34 points that night, and we also honestly had kind of a chance to win. And the field was a quagmire. I mean, just right down the middle was just a mess, and I remember kept telling whoever's listening to me at the other end, we got to get Cody Wright to grass.
Yeah.
Because if we could get him and his speed to grass, we were going to be okay. But it was a quagmire.
Yeah, and we've had similar situation with our field here. You know, the middle of that field has been, well, 1 year we even brought in, I think it was 11 yards of sand, and it didn't last. Nope. But it did help that night. But we had so much rain that year that nothing was going to save the middle of that field. But so that was your call to get that sand in there.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the Riddle game, we weren't going to do it at first because we just didn't have the bodies for an 11-man game. And then they said, well, how about 8? We said, well, okay. So I remember Jesse Pershing and I had to be in on 2 practices, and then we were going to play. And I went home and told my wife, I'm going to coach football. And she said, you're not a football coach. And I said, no, but I stayed at the Holiday Inn last night. She didn't quite get that joke.
She doesn't watch enough TV, apparently.
No, she doesn't. No. But her point was well taken.
Well, that's how I got this radio job. Evan asked me if I would be good on the radio, and I said no, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express yeah. last night, so he let me on here, and, well, I've proven him right that I'm not very good at this. But I was thinking of that softball situation. I think the reason that one kind of stands out in my mind was because I want to think that we went a little over and above what another program might have done, and I may be wrong about that, but we turned ourselves in. What was that situation at the time? Just briefly, how did that play out?
You can, some of the OSAA rules, you kind of learn as you go along, because you could sit there and read 200 pages, and you'd be like you'd go to sleep some night. But when grades are transcribed at the end of a quarter, you, per the OSAA, you have to pass 5 out of 7 classes. Now, at Rogue River, we have 10 more days in which a person can bring up that grade, or we did at that time. And I just went on that 10 days and then said, okay, she's good to go then. Well, you really have to look at the transcribed date. And within those 2 dates, in that 10 days, we had played in a couple games. We'd won them, and this young lady had played in those games, and therefore we were ineligible, or she was ineligible, and we had to forfeit. But I think a lot with the OSAA is a lot of the violations are self-reported. And I think by self-reporting, you really say to them in the world, we're going to do this right.
Yeah.
You know, we're not Mickey Mousing around. We don't have somebody ineligible out there. And I know that in the 2 years I talked to the OSAA a lot about, hey, here's my situation. Help me.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm thinking the way it is. And they're very, very good. Contrary to some people's opinion, they're very good to work with. They're not there to catch you doing something wrong. But on the other hand, you know, you want to do it right.
Yeah, and I definitely get your point about, you know, not being able to know all of the rules. Mm-hmm. I can think of it in terms of radio. I know the basics of the FCC rules, and so there's, you know, words that I won't say on the radio, but I'm sure there's a ton of other things that I need to know, and I learn them as I go. Right. So, yeah, I definitely get that. I don't want to run out of time before we can have a little bit of fun with some of our experiences over the last few years of basketball. And we were talking off air a little bit about, you know, we share some where we'll both kind of cock our heads a little at some of the refereeing we've seen over the years. Are there any stories for you, and they don't even have to be related to the Chieftain teams, of situations that you've experienced dealing with referees that just stand out in your mind and just go, you know, either that was crazy or that was the worst thing I've ever seen? I mean, I commented during a game this season that it was one of the worst games I've ever experienced because the reffing was bad, the play of our team was bad, the play of the other team, frankly, was bad until the end, and then they took advantage of how bad we were and beat us. But are there any stories that stand out in your mind from your years of coaching and being around sports?
Probably the funniest one was the year I was coaching the girls. And as you well know, when there's a dead ball, the referee raises his hand, and he's telling the scoreboard operator, when my hand goes down, you start the clock. Well, he was standing right in front of me, and we had a couple of young ladies that didn't really know all the nuances of basketball, and he's standing there with his hand up, and this young lady, she's coming off the floor because I'm substituting her out, and she reaches up and gives him a high five, just smacks him. I saw her do that, and I nearly fell over laughing. And the next time he comes through, he goes, I've never had a player do that before.
I guess she's lucky he didn't tee her up. He might have.
it was so hilarious. It was just. And then I've had. You know, I've had a team score a basket in the wrong basket
before. Oh, sure.
You know, that happened up north. It was one of those crazy things, you know. So yeah. If you haven't coached until you've had somebody score a basket in the wrong basket for you.
Yeah, well, I think we had one of those this season. It might have been in a girls' game. In fact, I think it was in a girls' game. It was at James Martin Court, and she had just gotten into the game, and I think she just really lost track of where she was. She was so proud about getting a rebound, she put it right back up and in and scored for us, I believe. I think that was the situation. It was the other team scoring for us. But, yeah, those are always interesting when they happen. You get one about every other season, I think. Yeah. You see one of those. Now, since there's nobody in our listening audience that knows too much about what goes on up north, and of course you lived up there, you were born.
I was born in Portland. But I lived for 33 years in Hood River.
In Hood River, yeah. And your grandson's up there now, and you were telling me a story. Tell us what the difference is between an incompetent referee and an indifferent referee, because I love this story.
Well, he was playing in a tournament about 3 weeks ago in the greater Vancouver area. And we know pretty much what an incompetent referee is, but I finally ran across one that was totally indifferent. And we walked in, and there was a girls' game going on, and he was playing in this tournament. And it was getting physical, and that's kind of understating it. And there's two guys refereeing this game, and one guy was working really hard, and I really admired him because he was trying to cover. The other guy there, he would be standing on the end line, and the play would head towards the opposite end, and he would walk, and he'd be lucky to get to the free throw line. And so we're all kind of looking at this guy, and we're all thinking the same thing. We hope we don't get this guy.
but Murphy's Law.
Yeah. So, and then there's one, he was right down the line from us, and a girl went out of bounds, and she took three steps clearly out of bounds into the color out there, came back in dribbling the whole way. And he just kind of looked, kind of shrugged his shoulders, and life went on. Well, we get into the boys' game, and sure enough, we've got these two, and my son is coaching, my grandson's playing, and it was so frustrating that it was just indifference. And I don't like the referee, but I was almost to the point where I was going to walk out there and say, I know you don't want to be here, but you give me your whistle, and I'll do it the best I can. You just go sit down, whatever. But it turned out we lost by three. A certain player got knocked on his keister in the corner, shooting a three, and the guy just looked at him like,
oh, well.
Oh, well.
I'm not going to decide this game.
We knew that a long time ago. You weren't going to decide it. So, yeah.
In fact, he wasn't going to ref it, period.
Oh, yeah. It's I don't think he lasted to the next day.
No, I would imagine not. None. That won't last too long before. So we're running out of time here, but I want to express to you how grateful I am for all you've done for Rogue River High School, athletic director, assistant coach, and of course as a head coach. I told you the other day we were talking, I said, and this is no disrespect to Coach Cameron, your assistant and the JV coach. Mm-hmm. But you had to coach the JV game the other night, and usually, you know, that's not your job. And Cameron came home that night and said to me, he says, Dad, I really like playing for Ron. And I knew at the beginning of the season, you know, he had his feathers ruffled a little bit because he thought he was going to be a swing player, and he didn't make it as a swing player. And once he got done being upset about that, he kind of took it as a challenge to make himself better. But for him to come home and say, hey, Ron had to coach our game tonight, and I really like playing for Ron, that to me, it speaks volumes. And I think all the players feel that way. I think I can speak for the whole program. I want to thank you for all of the hard work and service, and we're really going to miss you on the sideline. Don't know who the coaches will be next year. I'm sure I'll be on the radio again, and whenever you're around, if you want to come on and do some color with me, I'd love to have you.
I might be listening in from wherever I'm at and say something snide.
Well, and I know you'll be spending some more time up north, so you can watch your grandson play. Yeah. He's a good player. I've seen him a little bit. In fact, I think he went to camp with you guys or played some summer league with you or something. I've gotten to see him play a little bit, so I do remember that. So we're going to run out of time because you need to get over to practice and get to that pizza party with those boys. But again, I want to thank you for all you've done for us, and thank you for coming on the show. And girls, I want to thank you too for coming on too. Are you gonna go to the game tomorrow and cheer with Grandpa?
I don't think so.
Oh, I needed you there so that when Pastor Gigline is announcing the game, that you could make sure that Grandpa gets on the air for that last interview. Well, we'll see if we can make that happen. But I want to thank you all three of you for being here today.
Sure.
And we will, we've already used both of my breaks, so I'm going to move on and promote the crab dinner. But once again, thanks, Ron, and thanks for everything for the last 9 years. It's been great, and definitely don't be a stranger. I'd love to have you back in. We'll tell some more stories.
Okay. Great.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
So that was Coach Ron Haynes. Turned my own microphone off. That probably wasn't the right thing to do. And he's going to head off to his last practice as the Chieftain coach. Of course, they're going to be at St. Mary's tomorrow, little matinee tomorrow, 3 o'clock for the girls, 4:30 for the boys. So get out there to St. Mary's and root those Chieftains on. Say hi to Ron and thank him for all of his service for our team. We're really going to miss him here at Rogue River High School. And so And I won't be covering that game, unfortunately. And I believe Pastor Gigline is going to take over for me. We were still, there was still something up in the air, and I didn't get the confirmation on that. But we're going to try really hard to cover that those two games tomorrow right here on 94.3 The Bridge. Once again, the girls will be at 3 o'clock and 4:30 for the boys at St. Mary's. Of course, that's in Medford. And the reason I can't be there is this game was originally scheduled for Friday, and it is now going to be on Saturday, and I have a previous engagement on Saturday, and that would be the Miss Rogue River Crab Dinner. This is their main fundraiser where they raise money for the scholarships that they give out to all to the young ladies. We actually, in the past couple of years, we try and give at least a little something to all of the participants, but the three top three get very generous scholarships. And this fundraiser is our main fundraiser. Now, this year, we've got some ambitious girls that may want to actually do another fundraiser, and I don't know if that's going to come to fruition or not, but it's nice to have girls that really want to work hard and earn these scholarships that they're competing for. But the crab dinner is tomorrow night, and I can do it by memory, but I'm going to bring it up here so I don't get anything wrong. If you can get a ticket in advance, you still have time to go over to Umpqua Bank before they close. You can buy a ticket there. You can get one from one of the girls that's participating or from one of the directors. And I am the MC of the crab dinner. I'm also the MC of the pageant. And so that's why I was committed to that and can't make it to the basketball tomorrow. But the crab dinner is tomorrow night at the Live Oak Grange here in Rogue River. It will start at 5 o'clock. And tickets, the pre-sale tickets are $25. So if you want to go, and I would encourage you to do so, we need to support these very talented young ladies. And get your tickets in advance. They're only $25. If we have any tickets left at the door, they will be $30. Last year, we did sell out, so you may not be able to get a ticket at the door. This year, the sales have been a little slower, but I don't know what the girls have gotten done in the last few days. They always seem to rise up and go over whatever, you know, I expect that they might do. So we very well could sell out again. So I would encourage you, if you want to go tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, get your tickets at Umpqua Bank. Del Rio Vineyard, you may want to call them before you head out there, but they also had some tickets available. And or contact me if you don't have a way to get one of those tickets. I can reserve one for you, and you can do that. Send me an email. In the subject line of the email, put Rogue Talk so that it'll get directed to me. That's two words, Rogue Talk. And that's at feedback@943thebridge.com. Once again, feedback@943thebridge.com. And I will, if you can't make it over to Umpqua or to Del Rio, or you don't know one of the girls that's involved, get a hold of me, shoot me that email, and I'll do my best to get you hooked up with your tickets, or at least get them reserved for you at the pre-sale price of $25. If you do show up at the door, the tickets will be $30. There will be raffles. We will have live music. There's always some dancing to the live music. Dave Vesnes will be there with his band. He's played in a couple of different bands, so I'm not 100% sure which band it is, so I don't want to give the wrong name, but I know Dave will be there with a band. Great music. So there'll be the dancing, there'll be some raffles, there'll be a silent auction. The silent auction last year was a great success, a lot of great items. So get there early so you can start bidding on those silent auction items. And again, I know the beef feed was last week, and it's a lot to ask of the community to come out for another fundraiser, but I know we have a great community with wonderful people that are very giving. And we had a great dinner last year, and it was only a week after the beef feed, so I know we can do it again. And so that's all I've got for you today. So everyone, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.